Our reading is from Romans 12, 9 to 21, love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Well, today we're continuing in our two-week Summer of Love series, and we're focusing on love over these 2 weeks because our desire here at Trinity Church Golden Grove is for love to be central to all that we do. As the banner up the front reminds us, each week we're all about three simple things: loving God, loving people, and making disciples of Jesus. Last week was all about loving God, loving the God who is love, who is love in his nature and in his actions, and responding to his generous, sacrificial, and loyal love for us by loving him and being loyal to him with our whole selves, our whole lives. We saw that part of how we show our love for God is by how we love and treat the people around us. So this week, we're looking at the second of our three simple things, loving people. Loving people, it's very much the focus of today's Bible reading from Romans chapter 12. It's evident from the very first sentence of today's reading, which says, love must be sincere. And this reminded me of when Liz and I first started dating. June of 2020, I got a phone call from my longtime friend Luke. It seemed like a regular phone call, just general chit-chat back and forth, until we got to the end of the conversation. I was about to hang up, and he told me, hold on, because I've actually called for a particular reason. And you don't have to say yes if you don't want to, and I feel weird even bringing this up. But his wife, Sophie, had this sister, Liz, who was single. She was a great girl, and you know, we might hit it off if we got to know each other. The only slight complication was that Liz was living in Canberra at the time, and I was here in Adelaide. But despite the complexities of being in different cities, Liz and I agreed to exchange phone numbers, and we started messaging and talking on the phone. A few weeks later, I had opportunity to go to Canberra to see my family. So we had the opportunity to meet in person, have a face-to-face date. All things went very well. Relationships started to grow. After a couple of weeks, though, I had to return to Adelaide. And we weren't sure when we would see each other again. Because as I'm sure you can all remember, state border closures were a slight issue back in 2020 and meant it was no longer possible for me to go to Canberra to visit Liz or for Liz to come to Adelaide to visit me. But then we realised the border between the ACT and Queensland was open and the border between South Australia and Queensland was open. And if we both went to Queensland, we could see each other. So we decided to go up to Brisbane for a weekend so we could see each other. We had a great weekend spending time getting to know each other. And towards the end of our time in Brisbane, I was convinced of my feelings for Liz and the future direction of our relationship. And so I thought I should say, I love you to her for the first time. Of course, it's a very nerve-wracking moment telling someone that you love them for the first time. Those three little words are significant. You want to be sure that that's how you really feel before you say them. And you're also hoping that you hear those three little words back in response. So I mustered my courage and I looked at Liz and I said, "I love you." Her response back to me was, "Really?" Now that wasn't exactly the response I wanted to hear, but I took that "really" to be an expression of joyful surprise. But maybe Liz had been reading Romans chapter 12. She knew that love must be sincere. Maybe she wanted to know if I really, genuinely, sincerely loved her. And so similarly, when it comes to our love for God and our love for people, our love must be real, genuine, sincere. And so here's today's big idea up front. Jesus gives us a supreme example of what it looks like to love people with a sincere love. Say that again. Jesus gives us a supreme example of what it looks like to love people with a sincere love. And when we look at Jesus and we look at Romans chapter 12, we see that sincere love has these three characteristics. Sincere love is dedicated, sincere love is different, and sincere love is good. Dedicated, different, and good. We'll have a look at each one of these three characteristics in turn. So firstly, sincere love is dedicated. And look with me at Romans chapter 12. We won't have the verses on the screen, so it may be helpful to have a Bible open in front of you. And verses 9 through to 13, they say, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Now these five verses, they're full of instructions one after the other, and each describing a different aspect of what it looks like to love people with a sincere love. And we could go through the list kind of methodically, spending time looking at each instruction individually. But let me just kind of highlight what all these instructions have in common. And when you work your way through these instructions, a common factor stands out. All of these instructions require a great deal of energy and commitment and enthusiasm. Summarize it all into one word: following these instructions requires a great deal of dedication. And that is because loving people sincerely is not a one-time thing. To love people sincerely requires repeated efforts. To use the words found in the verses, sincere love requires devotion and ongoing commitment. Sincere love requires patience, faithfulness. Again, these are things that are expressed over time. Sincere love requires zeal and fervor. That's to say, passion, enthusiasm. We just had my family come and visit us over Christmas and stay with us for a week. In that week, a very eventful week, our 10-month-old son, Levi, he decided to put on a show for his family and learn how to crawl. And now that he can crawl, he doesn't stop. He's always on the go. He's our little Energizer bunny, moving around like he's got a couple of long-lasting batteries in his back that are just powering him on, giving him the energy just to go and go and go. And if we want to be people who love other people sincerely, we need to operate like our batteries are at full charge. People who are energized, people who are committed, people who are dedicated. Now, this doesn't mean going at full speed 100% of the time, doing the biggest, most extravagant things possible. And it doesn't mean that we all have to do exactly the same things, because we all have different capacities. We're all at different life stages. We all have our own unique abilities and gifts. But loving people sincerely means making an effort to do the small things and to do them often. to show kindness today, to be patient today, to be hospitable today, and then to do it again tomorrow, and the day after that, and then next week, and next month, and next year. And anyone who knows me just a little bit knows that I like my sports. And just about any sport, what separates the really great players from just the average ones is not their ability to do the extraordinary things, but their ability to do the basic things. Great players do the same basic things over and over again without lapsing in concentration or execution. That's what separates the great players from the average players. That's also what separates fake love from real love, insincere love from sincere love. Because it's easy enough just to fake an act of love once. Or it's even easy just to be genuinely kind just one time, to be patient once, hospitable once. But to do those things over and over again takes sincerity, takes genuine, real love. And if we return to our main point, it's this type of dedicated, committed love that we see Jesus exemplify. So very often throughout his ministry, he was patient with his disciples as they struggled to comprehend his teaching. Throughout his ministry, he regularly found time to share with and to be with those who were in need, to heal the sick, show compassion towards the societal outcasts. And he did all of this with compassion and enthusiasm, with sincerity. So firstly, our sincere love for people ought to be dedicated. And secondly, our sincere love for people ought to be different. Now, Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 17. From verse 14 it says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone." Sincere love is different because it does not take the easy option. Instead, sincere love takes the hard option, the different option. Because to curse those who persecute you, that's the easy thing to do. It's much more difficult to bless those who persecute you. Even to rejoice with those who rejoice you, that's not always easy. Sometimes pride, jealousy can get in the way as we see other people rejoicing over something that we wish that we had. It's easy to spend time with people who are similar to us, who can repay the favor. You know, if we show them kindness, they're going to show kindness back to us. We show them hospitality, they're going to show it back to us. It's much more difficult to spend time with people who are different from us, people down on their luck, people with no way of repaying the kindness and the love that we show towards them. Yet it's in doing these hard things that we see what makes sincere love so different. It's this different kind of love that Jesus both taught about with his words and then lived out in his actions. Because this section on love in Romans chapter 12, it might sound familiar. It echoes the teaching that Jesus gave in the most famous of his sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon, Jesus taught his followers that they are to go above and beyond the world's standard of love. The world's standard of reciprocity, you know, loving those who love you, hating those who hate you. But Jesus says, that's a really low bar. Everyone, even the despicable and traitors, you know, tax collectors, even they could meet that low standard. Instead, Jesus calls his followers to a higher standard of love, a different standard of love. Instead of retaliation and hatred, Jesus' followers are to love and to pray for their enemies, to turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile. Jesus teaches his followers to love their enemies. And then in his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus shows his love for his enemies. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, they say this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think this is one of the many wonderful things about the Christian faith. Jesus does not ask us as his followers to do anything that he was not prepared to do himself. He says, love your enemies, just as I loved you and gave my life for you when you were my enemy. He says, love sincerely, love differently to the examples you see in the world around you, because that's how I love you. Jesus shows us sincere love that is dedicated. Jesus shows us sincere love that is to a different standard. And thirdly, Jesus shows us sincere love that is good. Final section of Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through to 21, they say, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not repay evil with evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The Apostle Paul, he gives this instruction because he knows that evil and violence, they tend to escalate and become all-consuming. Every time evil is returned with evil, its life is extended. Hatred and fear is reinforced. And when people retaliate to evil with their own evil actions in an attempt to get vengeance, to get even, invariably, inevitably, it is evil that ends up engulfing and consuming them. But as people who have experienced and who continue to experience the love of Jesus, we are to be engulfed by sincere love. Sincere love that seeks what is right. Sincere love that seeks what is good. And not just what feels good in the moment, like revenge often does. Rather, we trust that God is good and that he is just, and that a day is coming when all of us will have to give an account of our actions to him. So what would this type of sincere love, this good love that does not seek revenge, look like for us in modern day Australia? I think it's helpful to consider the example of Andrew Thorburn. In October 2022, Andrew Thorburn was announced as the new CEO of the Essendon Football Club. But less than 24 hours later, he was forced to resign from his position as CEO because his beliefs as a Christian and his position as chair of the board at his church in Melbourne, City on a Hill, those beliefs were supposedly not in alignment with Essendon's values as a safe, inclusive, diverse and welcoming club. Now, it would have been easy for Andrew to either compromise on his beliefs in order to keep his position, or the other way, it would have been easy for him to publicly shame the football club, pointing out the hypocrisy of not being included in a workplace that says it's inclusive. It may have been tempting to see what legal action he could pursue. But rather than doing what was easy, I think that Andrew Thorburn did what was good. His public statement in response to his resignation was gracious, a steadfast witness to the sincerity of his faith in his Lord. I'll read a short section of his public statement. He said this, "My faith is central to who I am. since coming to faith in Jesus 20 years ago, I've seen a profound change in my life, and I believe that God has made me a better husband, father, and friend. It's also helped me become a better leader. That is because at the center of my faith is the belief that you should create a community and care for people because they are created by and loved by God and have deep intrinsic value. Now, it's unlikely that you or I will hold as high position and high profile position as CEO of an AFL club. This example does demonstrate how Christians can experience discrimination in the workplace for professing beliefs contrary to popular culture. It's very possible that instances like this are only going to become more common. And so an application for each of us to consider today is, how will I respond to this type of situation if, maybe when, it does occur? Each have to ask ourselves, will I compromise to avoid the difficulty of the situation? Will I want to get even, get justice, get revenge? Will I be overcome by evil? Or will I overcome evil with sincere, good love? No doubt it's a challenge not to take the easy way, but to take the high road instead. Yet it's possible for us to love people with sincerity for two reasons. First, God Himself makes it possible for us to do this through renewing our minds, through the power of His Word, through the guidance and leading of the indwelling Holy Spirit. God transforms us from the inside out so that it's possible for us to love people sincerely. You know, this transformation is described earlier in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And then secondly, we can display sincere love that is good by once again looking to the example of Jesus. Evil tempted Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days. Evil tempted Jesus when he was betrayed by one of his own disciples. And evil tempted Jesus during his trial, crucifixion, as he's repeatedly insulted, mocked, and shamed. Yet he was not overcome. For our sake, through his death and through his resurrection, he overcame evil with good. And so let me leave you with this final challenge, final application today. Let your love for people be sincere. Let your love for people be dedicated as you commit to doing the little things and doing them often, doing them again and again. In 2026, then, will you be committed to showing up, loving, serving your church community week in and week out? Will you be committed to showing up and loving the people in your community group week in and week out? And will you hold your love for people to a different, to a higher standard, showing kindness and hospitality to all people, not just those who are kind and hospitable to you?